This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
It's really, really not that good.
Oh, it's time for another splendid hour of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 1600 Buckslayer Place, right in the Buckatorium. We are in beautiful Sherrard, Illinois. This is Illinois at its finest. And I can't say more about this lovely city. My name's Steve. I'm in Kurt's house. Kurt, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic, as always. Just taking Snapchats of you while you run the intro here is all I'm doing.
Hey, attaboy. Thank you for tuning in, man. We really appreciate all the love and support that we get. Check us out if you're already listening. You probably already know. If you don't, workingclassbowhunter.com is where you're going to go. We've got some awesome shirts that went up on the site a couple weeks ago. They're selling like hotcakes. You got to get you one of the Go Shoot Your Bow shirts. Email us, workingclassbowhunter@gmail.com. We're on all social media sites.
Yep, you can hit us up anywhere. Instagram. I like Instagram the best, honestly. Facebook's good, too. But
Instagram's kind of taken over because you can... I don't know. It's not as...
It's photos. There's nothing negative.
Yeah. If you're having a bad day, I don't have to read about your stupid, you know, like, oh, here's my status. Oh, I had a bad day. The guy at the bowling alley didn't have size 14 shoes, so I left. Like, dude, why'd you go to the bowling alley at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday? I had to figure out what day it was. But anyway, Instagram, we're on there.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to a few people. Everyone that's bought anything off of workingclassbowhunter.com lately. Eric Butcher, he's been sharing all of our stuff lately on all social media. All the boys at the Whitetail Experience. There's so many more. We're going to do, I want to do a listener call in episode again where we talk to all our listeners. And
oh, I love those, man.
We'll line up like the whole shout out thing and talk to everyone. Super thankful for everyone lately. It's been awesome. So super thankful for that. Thanks everyone for the support.
But now say also, thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.
Say it like you mean it.
I do. I love everyone that listens to our podcast or shares it.
Like you
know. I'm like, I don't know what else you want from me right now.
Yeah.
But no, we really do appreciate everyone that's supported us in any way, shape, or form. We appreciate it more than you know.
Yeah, why? I don't get it.
I don't get it either, man, but it's, we're doing this either way. We're going to run this right down into the ground.
You guys are going to hate us, and we'll still be doing it. But we couldn't do it without our wonderful partners, Elite Archery. Check out the bows that they've got coming up. It's 3D season. Hunting season is coming up faster than you think.
Check out the podcast we do with Darren Christianberry.
Yes. I counted down the days, and I was like, dude, I cannot believe that deer season is this close.
Don't talk about it, because I'm going to get anxiety.
Don't. Yeah.
Also, Scent Crusher. We're sponsored by Scent Crusher. We love Scent Crusher. Dan Drake from Scent Crusher is a great man.
We love him.
We do. The Ozone Go, the gear bag, the closet, good stuff going on there. Check them out. People always ask, does it work? Yeah, it works. Check it out. HHA Sports, leader in single pin sights. Hashtag single pin nation. Lifetime warranty. They support our veterans. It's made in America. A very good product. Single pin clears up that sight picture. For me, helps with shooting long distance. It helps in the deer woods. People ask about, single pin, that's scary. Try it out. You'll love it. I promise. Can't guarantee it, but I'll promise. Also, Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing.
Beautiful Viola, Illinois.
Beautiful people over there at Smith's. If you're northwestern Illinois, eastern Iowa, that is the place to be. The cleanest deer processing facility. Good stuff there. Good people. They stand behind their product. And I've never been bummed out about anything I've had at Smith's. Mm-hmm. That's just a heads up. Be ready for this season, because he's going to turn it up right.
We haven't talked about the meatloafs in a while. I'm on my final meatloaf.
I'm already out of meatloafs, man. That's why I haven't talked about them.
I know.
Thanks for bringing them up.
Sorry, dude. Yeah, not to give you anxiety, but only limited days away from you being able to shoot a doe. You're probably going to shoot a doe early season. Get that meatloaf. I'm super excited. Moving on.
Thank you. Veteran shout out. You got one?
DarkHorseLodge.org. Peaceful Retreat for Combat Vets. You're going to want to check them out. They're all over social media. Listen, it's a great cause. This family, you can read the backstory. They lost their child, and they wanted to give back in the best way that they could. Go ahead and give them a sponsor, or a donation. I'm sorry.
Smile.amazon.com.
Yeah, smile.amazon.com. I wanted to try and throw that in. It's not going to cost you any more money. But everything that you purchase on Amazon, and when you go through smile.amazon.com, a portion of those proceeds will go to the Dark Horse Lodge as long as you select them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be feeling good about yourself. So check them out.
Yep. I'm your hype man right now.
You like that? You're the hype man?
Yep.
Dude, I think we need a hype man.
We do. Check out Dark Horse Lodge. We love them. Anybody that's a veteran or supports our veterans, we're on board.
Yeah, check them out.
No, we don't need a hype man. We need to get to the episode. Catching deers.
Oof, they don't need to be hyped.
It's a funny term, man. And they came out with, by the way, I got to switch hats. It's over here. I got a Kitchen Deer's hat on my deer mount. I'm going to switch out right now and get one. Put it on for the show. Be real authentic.
Oh, you're going to put on?
I'll put on, yeah. So
right,
Kitchen Deer's, they came on with their video last year. Super popular, super funny.
Took off for them.
Kind of right up our alley. We like serious bow hunting. We like the tips. So we like to do podcasts like this where we can kind of let loose and joke around. And that's what it's about, man. Not everything has to be tips and tactics and everything serious. Like, you know, if you listen sometimes you're at work, maybe you just want to have a good time. Hopefully have a laugh or two from our podcast. And this is one of those episodes for us that we just like to kick back and have a good time. And, you know, they're serious deer hunters as well, but they get this sense of humor.
Yeah, so, like you guys, you tune in each and every week, you get it. I'm assuming that you're going to get exactly what these guys are all about, so check it out. We're going to get right into the episode right now.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for listening. We love you.
All right, so on the phone with us right now, we have the legendary. You saw him in the video. He was all over the internet. The man, the legend, the Canadian, Bud Fisher. Bud, how you doing?
How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Bud? Oh, you drinking some Molsons up there, Bud?
You bet. You bet. Absolutely. Guys, pleasure to be on. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man. I know this is your favorite podcast, so welcome to the show.
Well, let's clear it up. You called us.
That's right. That's right. I said, guys, please have me on the show. I would love to be on. Yeah, I love what you guys are doing, so it's an honor for me just to be chatting with you, for sure.
Hey, man, likewise. We love catching deers.
Ditto.
We talked about in the pre-intro bit that you know, you guys get our sense of humor. It's, yes, it is serious. We take our hunting serious. We take our tips and tactics serious. But it's nice to kind of let loose, have a good time, have a sense of humor about things. People understand it, and, it, dude, you can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, you know what? We've been trying to put our finger on, you know, the tagline or the slogan for Catching Deers, because it's so many things. But I think you got kind of hit on it. It's the brand for the folks that take their hunting seriously and themselves lightly. And that's kind of how we look at right. how we look at ourselves.
Man, that's perfect.
We're hardcore about our hunting. We love it, but then we just also joke about it. And really, it's the time with the guys is the best part. So. Yeah, the brand for the rest of us.
Right, right.
No. Festivus. No, I picked that reference up.
I like it, though. I mean, that's the best way to put it. I mean, so you guys kind of punch, I said earlier, you punch the hunting industry in the nuts with the Catching Deers video, and absolutely hilarious. I think everyone loved it. They got it. They have everyone that has been asked by a non-hunter, I guess, has ever been, you know, have you caught, did you catch any deer? Did you catch any ducks? Did you catch any turkeys? It's like, well, normally when you catch them, they're still alive. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you got to kill them to eat them. You got to kill them to eat them. No, you know what? It absolutely exploded on us, and we didn't know what to expect. We thought that it was funny, but at the same time, with our group of guys and like the hunt camp, I'm sure everybody can identify with this. You have things that you think are just hilarious because they're inside jokes, and then you go to your other buddies and you tell them, and they're like, cool, dude. Like, what? I don't get it. So yeah, we didn't know if it was one of those, if we were just like, man, I don't know if we've had a string of bad luck or what it was, but you know, we just, it became an inside joke with our hunt camp, and I showed up to the hunt camp in Kentucky in September of last year, just, you know, 9 months ago or whatever it is now, 10 months ago, and I had the Catching Deers foam trucker hats, and the guys just out there hysterical. And it wasn't really anything at the time. We were like, oh, you know, we could do it. We could do a business, and, you know, we could launch a video and we can make it funny and all the rest of it. And then we started just wearing the hats because we liked them for us. And we started getting asked everywhere, like airport, like, dude, that's hilarious. I get asked that all the time. Like, where'd you get that hat? And, you know, one of my buddies, Austin, was at the Tennessee Banana Pudding Festival. That's a real thing. And I guess that's our target Google demographic that. Right there. But he was there, and he's like, bud, six people came up and asked me where I got my hat. Like, we need to make more of these hats for people. Like, we just wanted to share it with everyone. And so, you know, we got together and came up with the idea for the video. And, you know, filming the video, we were like, do you think this could go viral? Like, what do you think? We're like, I don't know. Who cares? We think it's funny. And I posted it on how it started on Facebook, as I made the page and I posted that video, and on my personal Facebook, I just said, hey guys, check out this new video we made for this brand we launched. And then by noon it had 50,000 views, and I woke up the next morning and it was over 300,000, and then it hit 1 million in the, like, day six, and it's sitting at like 3.9 million right now. So it's just like, it was one of those things that we sat back and were like, oh boy.
I'm pretty bitter right now, bud.
Yeah.
I'm real bitter. I got to tell you why, because I did the worm on video and I got slapped on video, and we don't have a million views.
Bud probably hasn't seen this video yet. We need to share this with him after the podcast.
I haven't seen it, guys, but I love those like fail videos. So if it's like a fail style video,
it's sort of that way.
Oh, dude, yes. Any video I'm in, is there's just one failure in that video. That's just me.
I'm pretty much slapping Steve at 800 frames a second.
Oh. Like, send it to me.
Full just, blown just, slap.
Oh, like, still gonna send it,
send
bud.
It. Just send it. Still gonna send it.
Steve's notorious for making wrestling references on the podcast. So when we made this video, like, we were filming some other stuff for like Elite and just for the podcast, and I'm like, hey Steve, let me slap you in like 800 frames a second, just slow motion. We had it,
and I was like, oh, it's best for business.
Our buddy had a badass camera, so we just made up this little like story, like super quick off the top of our head. It's only like a 40-second long video, but I'm full blown slap, like whip slapping Steve, took it like a champ. And
little inside business for all you out there. It was not just one slap. There was multiple slaps.
Three slaps.
You can't just have one take. Yeah. You can't just have one take. Yeah.
No,
fun fact too, in the video, it shows me slapping him in real time. That's a different slap from the slap that's at the slow-mo slap. It's great.
Just a glutton for punishment. Oh, just a glutton. Actually, funny story on that too. So my good buddy Adrian is one of the guys in the video, and he shows up twice. So he was there because he's a total... Well, he's one of my good buddies. I want him in the video. But his role... In the video is, well, he's in it like four times and it's hilarious, but he is a total pyro. So his job was to make sure that explosion went off. And that explosion was like the bane of my existence. It took like 4 hours to get that explosion right. But anyway, Adrian is the one, you might have to go back and watch the video again, but was the one that tackles like the deer target at the start.
Okay, I remember Dana. I think Dana referenced that.
Yeah. So he was. We were supposed to do that take like 4 or 5 times, right? Like you never get it right the first time, and we're like, "All right, set it up, guys. Let's do it again." And we look at him, and he's like, just has this dazed look in his face, and goes, "Guys, I can't." We're like, "Why not?" He's like, "I think I have a concussion." He's like, so he was like holding his neck. He had to go sit down. He was in rough shape, and he was a rugby player, and he's been hit hard. And he's like, I've had a couple concussions before, guys. I'm sure of it. I've got a concussion. I can't do it again. So that was our one take, and it worked. So
that's awesome.
He took it like a champ too. So that was good. But
well, let's cut into it here, man.
Yeah.
How has business changed since we last spoke with Dana last November?
Yeah. Oh man, we've been on a whirlwind since then. Just having fun in the fall with the hunting season and people, you know, telling us their stories about being asked if they caught anything and stuff like that. So we ramped up through the fall. Went to ATA, met you guys at ATA, and that was a lot of fun. And we met a lot of great industry people at ATA and had a blast. And that was awesome. We launched Catching Turkeys in the spring with just kind of a soft launch with the foam trucker and a camo Catching Turkeys hat. And it's been really a ton of upfront work planning for this fall. So we got some exciting things coming out this fall that we haven't shared with anybody yet. So I guess you're hearing it first, but we've got a full line of gear coming out. And we got sweatpants and we got hoodies.
Oh, wait, whoa, sweatpants.
Yes. You know what? I am one of those guys that, you know, I wear the same stuff as much as I possibly can. Like I've got this plaid jacket that I'll just wear like every day. And, it's just kind of simple like that. And I love my comfy clothes. And so I wanted to make some sweatpants for bow hunters and for hunters that are like, you come back in from the stand and what do you wear, right? And so the answer to that is the Catching Deer sweatpants. And so they're like the most comfortable fabric that we could find. We got some distressed camo on and stuff like that. But there's also some features in there that you wouldn't find anywhere else. Like I was just thinking, when I'm shooting my bow and I'm practicing, like where do I put my arrows? I don't shoot with a quiver because I don't hunt with a quiver on. So we put a pocket in the back that's only a couple inches wide and it goes down the leg like 9 inches. So you can just stick your arrows in the side of your pants when you're shooting your bow and stuff like that, that we're having a lot of fun with. So
it's incredible.
Now listen, bud, you're striking a chord with me because, I'm literally wearing sweatpants right now. The whole running gig is I bought these, sweatpants, these Bone Collector pants, and Kurt has the same ones and they are so comfy. I wear them everywhere. I'm at the weight where I'm not afraid to wear sweatpants in public. You know, I got to that tubby. So sweatpants for me are 100% good to go. Any company that sells sweatpants, I always go to Better Business Bureau and rate them A+. Just gonna let you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know,
love it.
It's funny. You know,
it's tough.
I'm just kind of thinking about it. You know, it all started with a hat.
Yeah.
And your guys's hat,
I got it on right now, by the way.
Kurt's wearing it right now. The only other better hat that I've ever seen is they're selling on Instagram, and all it says is executive producer Dick Wolf. So if you get that, that's the only better hat that's out there on the planet. And it's nuts, you know. Just it came from this idea that you guys were like, dude, this is an inside joke. Let's run it. You know, me and Kurt were like, hey, man, we could talk hunting. Maybe people enjoy it. It's beautiful to see that blossom into something and yeah. the things that you can do. Like however, you know, for me, that's a number one seller, the sweatpants where you can put arrows in.
It scares yeah. me because Steve will never take them off.
No,
yeah,
never.
Yeah.
But you it's nuts. What's
fun for me and has been awesome about this brand from the start, and I know you guys, I know this is going to strike a chord with you because you guys are the exact same way, is that we're like a yes brand, right? Where we just do whatever we want because it's fun. And that's how kind of authenticity stems from that. So it's like, hey, we should right. do a video. Heck yeah. What do you think about this? Yeah, do it. I want to have a guy peeing in the background and his pants are going to be at his ankles. Ah, oh, that's awesome. Let's do it. And so it's just, we kind of do it. We do it for us. And then people have, you know, thought that it's funny and have enjoyed it and like the hat. And like I say I designed that hat. I went into Rachel's office who we work with, and I'm like, hey, I need a foam trucker hat with catching deers on it. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah. It's spelt like this, catching deers. And she sent me a mock and was like, hey, what do you think about this? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Awesome. Love it. And then I made six of them. And then that's how, like, if you think too much about this stuff, sometimes, you know, it just doesn't. Something gets lost in the process. So
right.
Everything that you see is just like, oh, that's classic. Just send it.
Send it. Still going to send it.
Yeah.
Are you silly? Are you nuts?
Are you silly?
I mean, that is kind of our, man, like, we take our bow hunting seriously, but it's like when you get us in shooting in the yard, like we were filming that video, it's like, Steve, let me slap you. Dude, if it's for video and it's going to go down in history forever, let's do it. Like,
all right.
If I'm going to get slapped, let's do it at 800 frames a second, and we're going to make a video out of it, and I'll be able to pull it up whenever I want. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get it, man. Like, I know if we had the ability to have that camera all the time, we'd be filming some weird shit.
Yeah, come on. You know, like, how else are you going to talk a 5'7", 280-pound man to do the worm multiple times so you can get the good take?
It was great.
There's certain things that I'm willing to do because I know that people enjoy it. And I'm sure that's how you guys worked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Look, I mean, the hunt camp is like a locker room mentality for us. And so we, you know, been making fun of each other there for a long time, and kind of anything goes there when it comes to, you know, teasing each other and stuff like that. So that's where it was kind of stemmed from, is the shenanigans of what happens at the hunt camp. And we always want to stay true to that, really that hunt camp feeling. And when I describe, you know, what I want people to think about when they think about catching deers, or when they put those sweatpants or that hoodie or, you know, we're doing vests, you put that vest on, it's like, it just reminds you of the hunt camp. And it's not necessarily just big deer. That's not what our identity is. Our identity is like, man, remember last year at hunt camp when this happened? Like, that was so funny, you know?
Right. Right.
And it's those memories together that kind of what we're about. And then, you know, you drop a booner and that's a bonus.
For sure, so. Man. For sure. Well, one thing I want to talk about quick, and then we'll move along into some hunt stories here.
Yeah.
Your recent video that you guys just put out, and just talk about it. I don't want to mention anything else. I want to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, we did. We bought a lot of fast food. Let's put it that way.
That's what I was wondering, man. The whole time that video is going on, I'm like, how much money is he spending? Because you're like, just a sandwich.
I would have loved to be in the back seat.
I started the first three or four places I went to. I'm like, yeah, make it a biggie size with fries. And and then what do you guys want? They chime in, and, you know, and then I started like, you know, 20, 30 bucks pop. And I was like, no, like, hold the phone. I'm going to order something. And then she's going to tell me that they don't have that, and I'll cancel, and I'll get like a like a junior that's like $1.39 or something like that. So it's called the Wild Game Drive Through. And it's kind of, all of us have, I'm sure, gone through a drive-thru and been like, man, I wish I could just have like some backstraps on the grill right now, but I guess I'll get a bacon double cheeseburger. And so it's kind of stemmed from that, right? Is I wonder what they'd say if we went to a drive-thru and just started ordering Wild Game. And we sat down, I sat down with the guys, and, you know, I'm the one that's in these videos, but I'm not the funniest guy and I'm not the most creative, but when you get us in a room together, funny stuff just flies. And it's the same thing as what you guys have got, right? Just, you know, every once in a while, a nugget of gold will come flying out of nowhere. And so, you know, the Pope and Young meat pie came flying out. And yeah. And then, I wanted to order an elk burger and the lady was like, "You mean the son of the Baconator?" And I'm like, "Yeah, the son of the Elkinator." And so I was I almost said the name. I don't know what I'm allowed to say for these fast food establishments on your podcast. But anyways, we went around. Yeah, that one was at Wendy's, and I don't think she liked me too much by the end. But we went to like 15 different drive-thrus probably. And I had a pretty good idea going in what the menu was, and we looked at the menus and tried to sub things out. But then we'd go up and we'd just kind of be ridiculous. And I think the funniest part, at least for me, is when I just tried to have a conversation with the person at the window.
Yeah, that's classic.
And they didn't care. So one of them was just kind of off the cuff, as I was like, "Oh, I'm going to order the turkey bacon club, or the turkey and bacon club, but I'm going to call it wild turkey." And it was called smoked. Yeah. It was called the smoked turkey club. And I was like, "I smoked a turkey last year, man." It was, and I started talking about this big spurs and, 10 inch beard. And then I went to the window and she kind of gave me this look and I was like, "Oh man." So I just started telling her the hunting story and the look in her face was like, "Dude, what are you talking about?" So funny. It ended up being a lot of fun. And then, we're just talking how stuff flows organically is I was like, "Man, I need a coffee." And, we got up to the, and we were just going to kind of go up to the window and just order a coffee. And I was like, "Pike roast, guys, we got to do something with pike roast." Like, call it a musky roast. And so I said, "I'll get your musky roast." And he's like, "Dude, we don't have a musky roast." So I was like, "Well, what's the normal one called?" He's like, "Pike." I'm like, "Oh, you're stocking pike. I'll get a pike roast."
That's funny.
Man, you didn't go to Timmy's at all, did you?
No, yeah. We didn't go to Timmy's. Actually, you know what? We did. Sorry, that was late. The last one we went to was Timmy's, and she didn't really give us much, and she couldn't hear me, and it went back and forth a few times, and I asked for deer nuts, and she's like, "What?" Said, like a maple glazed deer nut. She's like, "Dude, like, I don't know what you're talking about." And so it just kind of derailed and it didn't really work. But by that time, I'd been ordering fast food for like 6 hours straight. And I was like, "I quit. I'm done." So
funny story.
Only six hours.
Real quick, and then we'll move on. I was in Canada last year for work. First thing I did, I got my rental car and I landed. I was in Manitoba. Mm-hmm. I was driving along. I turned on the radio. Drake's playing. I'm like, "Yep, turn it back down. Typical." And then I was like, "Next, I got to go eat at a Timmy's." So I drove like 2 hours where my hotel was, and the first place I stopped was Timmy's. And I'm like, "Okay." And then I ate a poutine or putin, whatever you guys call it.
Poutine?
I call it poutine, but I mean, wherever you go, some people are like, "It's poutine." You're like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Well, I ate a real one. It was like really good for like 3.5 minutes, and then the rest of it was just miserable. I'll probably never eat one again.
Yeah. That's basically the experience. It starts off really strong and then finishes off with a fizzle. and we won't make any references on that one, but starts off real strong and then goes downhill fast. So
that's awesome. Let's talk about the bear hunt, man.
Yeah. The bear hunt started for me. I mean, the bear season here is May 1st to June 15th, but the bear hunt for me started in like February. So what I did is I wanted to build a bow because I'm into some traditional archery stuff. I just love it. And so I wanted to build a bow and I wanted to shoot a bear on the ground with it. And so I built this bow. It was a long process and it was something that I love doing, and I shoot it every day now, this bow that I built. And then I got into the hunting season and it was incredibly wet and it was very cold. Like we were halfway through the, you know, the bear season. And at one point in the bear season, we got snow and it's just like, they're not going to be active. They're not going to be hitting baits. Their stomach doesn't adjust at that point, and they're grazing and different things. And so, it was a very, very tough hunt, but the last 2 weeks in the hunt, I bared down, I guess that's a horrible pun. And I hunted really intensively. And one of the nights, and we're filming this, by the way, for a short film, this experience. It's kind of about, you know, kind of going back to my roots of, I just have been obsessed with bows my entire life. And, you know, before I had a compound, got my first compound at like 12 maybe. And before that, I just tie strings on a sticks and make them. And so it's kind of like a tip of the hat to where it started, right? Making a bow and then going in and, you know, trying to shoot something with it. And so, I hunted here in Ontario. We've got some big bears here. I could text you guys some pictures. That's how I roll. I just love firing, you know, the text message threads back and forth with deer and bears on cam and all that. But we have some giants, and I have a buddy here that has been bear hunting and baiting these same bait spots near our farm. And things were slow at our farm, so I went to see him, and he's been baiting those spots for 40 years. And he's one of those guys that is just classic. Like, he's unbelievable. And he'll tell you, he's like, I have a 400-pound bear coming in. I'm like, oh, man, can I see pics? He's like, bud, bears don't like trail cameras. I've never used a trail camera in my life. And he's like, I'm like, how do you know? He's like, well, check out these tracks. And he'd show you, like, the tracks, and he'd be like, that's a 400 to 450-pound bear. And, you know, he's probably, you know, and he just knows. He's been doing it for so long. Like, he told me after one of our bears that we shot a couple years ago, he's like, I've skinned almost 800 bears. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy knows, you know, more than, you know, I'll ever know in my lifetime. And he's phenomenal. So he got us on this bait, and I'm sitting on the ground with this longbow that I made in my hand. And in Ontario, if you're on the ground for bears, you have to wear orange. Blaze orange.
Really?
But if you're in a tree stand and you're over like 12 feet, you don't have to. But I love being on the ground for bears because it's so intense. And so I'm sitting 17 yards from this bait, and this bear comes in to my left, and it's this big bear that he was talking about. This bear's so big that it had been ripping the barrel, the 45-gallon barrel, off of the chain and. Like, he had to go find the barrel in the woods. This is a big, big boy. And so I'm sitting on the ground, and it comes in, and it comes into 5 yards to my left. And I'm ducking down. We had we brushed ourselves in just with natural brush, and I'm ducked down, and I don't get a good look at him because I'm wearing full on blaze. I don't want him to see me. Unlike deer. So deer can't really see blaze, but bears reportedly can. So they can see color a lot better than deer can. So I'm kind of hiding down. Mm-hmm. And my camera guy goes, that's a giant. And so I'm kind of peeking over and looking, and he stands up and starts rubbing his back against a tree. And at this point, he's inside of 15 yards. Like, he's probably 12 yards rubbing his back, and he's an absolute giant. And he walks by the bait. So you can bait in Ontario, and you'd never see a bear if you didn't bait. It's not like hunting the plains or
hear that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's very, very difficult. So, baiting's legal. And, so that's what we do. And this guy's back was over top of this barrel, an absolute giant. And its belly was, I promise you, it was almost touching the ground. Like, it was just it was, you know, like 450 plus. I hesitate to say 500 because everybody just says it was a 500-pound bear, but it was in that range. And he was at 17 yards, and I'm like, oh man, this is go time. And I get the tap on the shoulder from my camera guy, Ryan, and he just gives me the nod, and he's got zero camera light. And it was legal. There was probably 10 minutes left in shooting light, but it was that you're in the woods and it's darker and it was an overcast night. And he's just like, no. And because we were filming, this is like having a booner at 15 yards and you can't let an arrow fly.
Ugh.
And he circled the bait and started walking straight towards us. And he was probably inside of 10 yards. And I had to stand up and scare him off. And I'll tell you, that got the blood flow going a little bit, thinking if this guy decides to come at us, he's coming hard because he's a big boy. But I scared him off the bait, and then the next 4 days we didn't see him. It's basically like bumping a 200-inch deer off of your off of your stand and hoping he's going to come back, right?
That sucks.
So, yeah. it was tough, but we'll try to get on them again in the fall and try to make that happen. But it's a game changer when you're filming. So
that, you know, that's something that always intrigues me. You know, a bear that big being scared off by a guy. And I haven't met you, but I don't assume that you're 450 pounds.
I'm a very intimidating, like 5'11", 175.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So a Conor McGregor type. All right, I got you. But, like, you know, to me, that's, I guess the only way I could describe it, like, you know, there's a lot of guys you would fight at a bar, but, like, if you're at home at your house and you see a vase move for no reason, you're going to get scared. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not something that always happens.
I'll tell you, I've been nervous with bears a few times, but this was probably up there the most, because this was a big guy and I knew it was his domain. And when they're smaller bears, they're really skittish, and big bears sometimes just don't care that much because they've, you know, they can get old. Like, it could be a, you know, a 15, 20 year old bear that just has seen it all and doesn't care, you know? And so,
hasn't hurt yet. So why is this time any different? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, What I did is I waited until it wasn't, you know, really facing our direction and there was trees between us, and that's when I spooked it off, rather than it spotting us first and kind of being curious and aware.
Right.
But that said, I mean, black bears for the most part are, like, you can scare them off if you want to. It's very rare that you can't. So I don't get that nervous, but I always do bring, especially when I'm on the ground, is I'll bring a 12 gauge in and leave it beside me. Just in case anything goes wrong, particularly if you've got a, you know, I'm hunting with a longbow. I had one, just a little guy. It was a boar, and it was probably like 130 pounds soaking wet. But I had it inside of like 5 yards, and I was standing there at this point, I had a recurve in my hand, and that it's just there's something
that
about
makes it even crazier, man.
Yeah, being face to face, I just love it.
There's so a video of that guy.
It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but there was that video of that guy. I'm pretty sure he had a recurve.
Yeah, he did.
And that bear is coming down the track hot.
I think he surprised that bear, though. That's what it looked like to me.
If we're thinking about the same video, that was in Ontario as well.
Yes, it was. Yes.
I don't think he was bear hunting. From what I understood from the article that was with it, is he came across this bear and he wasn't bear hunting. And he waited, in my opinion, he waited too long. And by that time it was, kind of a fight or flight, and the bear was facing him and kind of only had one way to go. And, you know, people were dubbing that a bear attack, and I adamantly disagreed. I said it was certainly an encounter and he was charged, but if that bear wanted to hurt him, he could have.
Oh, to
kill
him.
He just wanted to knock him down and get out. Like, it was that was the bear basically protecting itself by charging him and knocking him over and taking off. So he was certainly lucky. But in Ontario, since they started recording in the 50s, there's been 7 deaths by black bear. And so there's been more by, you know, just about anything, bees and all of that. So they're really not that dangerous, you know, when it comes to those kind of statistics.
Well,
certainly.
If Kurt could have his way, he'd be number 8. Or is it a grizzly you want to dive over?
Grizzly's a different game.
Well, you got to hear Kurt's little theory. This is...
Yeah, it's not black bear. I mean, Steve made me sound like I'm a lunatic and just want to get mauled by a bear for no reason. Like,
you are, dude.
I just think, like, if I'm going to go out, like, if there's a plan for me to die, I want to, like, be bow hunting a brown bear, get mauled, but the bear dies too. You know what
but
I mean?
But so, like, they die side by side. So it's like,
when they find me, they're like, oh my God.
Look at this. The bear died, but, like, the bear killed Kurt, but Kurt ended up stabbing the bear in the heart, so it didn't make it far. So the crime scene is really easy to clean up.
Well, I just want to be like, they find it, and they're like, oh my God. Look at this. The dead brown bear, like world record brown bear. Imagine that. And Kurt's right here. Like, what could have happened? What a hero.
Would you want to be buried next to that brown bear?
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Excuse my language.
No, I just...
You caught me off guard on something I'm very passionate about, okay?
It's like those. Man. It reminds me of those. You know, back to the fail videos and talking about Conor McGregor. But have you ever seen the UFC videos where there's the simultaneous knockout?
Yeah.
They both catch each other with a left at the same time. It's like one of those
for sure. Yep. Oh, it's too good. So
I can respect that.
Talking about bear hunting and stuff. Do you have any future hunts that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, so I mean, I already kind of hinted, but I'm looking forward to getting back after that bear this fall, and we just got access to some more land here here in Ontario that I'm anticipating there's some big bears on. So we're going to start scouting and prepping for bear hunt this fall here real soon, and that's a big chunk of land in prime bear country that we've got access to. So I'm really excited about that. But when it comes to deer, yeah, we've got property here in Ontario that I deer hunt. I always go down for the bow opener in Kentucky, which Kentucky opener is super early, so there's velvet bucks, and I shot an 8-pointer in velvet last year that was really the most character that I've ever shot in a deer, and probably ever will. It was, we call them straight pipes because he looks like an elk. The antlers just go straight up and back. And just
no
big
catalytic
mass.
Converter.
No, yeah, yeah. So it was a really, really cool old deer, and there was like 41 inches of mass. Like I could barely get my hands around the bases. Just this big old deer, but so much character on it. And it was funny because we called it the Cull Buck for like 2 years, and then he showed up last year, and we're like, that is the Cull Buck no more. Like he was a big boy. So he was an 8-pointer. Just a true 8. It had like zero tine length. It was all mass and all main beams,
which is awesome.
And yeah, it was really, really cool. But he went about 141 for an 8-pointer. So it was a really, really cool and nice deer. And it was one of those last light, last day, 5 minutes left in shooting, like kind of stories. And my brother Mike had tagged out 2 hours before on his target deer. So he shot a full velvet 161 and 10-pointer, and I shot a full velvet 141 8-pointer. And so that was just kind of the coolest 1-2 punch, you know, opening weekend. It was awesome. So I'm excited to go back for that. And that's also like the kickoff to our hunting season. So all the guys are together. That's where Catching Deers was born. So we'll do that. I've got a couple waterfowl hunts that I'm excited about, that we're going to do some filming for, Catching Ducks. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to do Tennessee, hopefully Tennessee, Ohio during the rut. So I'll spend, you know, 14 days probably down there, during the rifle season, and, do that and then come back and do another waterfowl hunt and then maybe a late season muzzleloader in Ontario. So I'm gonna be busy, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's tough schedule and
hunting the rut, man, it sucks. I know.
Feel really bad for you. Dude, I gotta know, and I've never really asked anyone this. We've got some friends in Canada.
I'm nervous right now.
Me too.
Hey, no. What's weird is this is actually going to be a serious question. When you go to like lease property, or you're looking for good ground, you know what are some key differences? Where if you're going to lease property, can you lease bear only or deer only? Like, so you lease it, you can only deer hunt there, but you can't bear hunt there. I mean, because in Illinois, you know, we really only have deer and turkey. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious with multiple species, how you guys work that out.
Yeah, I think the first thing is like culturally, the deer hunting culture here is so much different. The hunting is a lot more recreational, and a lot of my friends and family, you know, have, you know, family land that, you know, they've been hunting for years, and they'll go in only for the gun hunt and run dogs and go to the camp with all their cousins and stuff like that. So it's just a little bit of a different mentality. A lot of folks here, don't get me wrong, you know, do the tree stand bow hunting and, you know, take it seriously and do some QDMA and things like that. But I grew up at least in that culture of, you know, basically, you know, school shuts down for a couple weeks and the deer hunting season is 2 weeks long and, you know, you run dogs through, because we're not ag, you know, where I grew up. There's some, but it's a lot of big forest, bush, cedar swamp that is really, really tough to hunt. And, you know, we grew up like meat hunters. And so that's how they did it here. And they always did it here. But to answer your question specifically, because of that culture, it's changing, but because of that culture, we don't have the big money leases and stuff like that here. There's a lot more land per, you know, population. So there's more public land and more, you know, build a relationship with a farmer and have access. So I've never leased property in Canada. I've got relationships with people that I hunt with, and we've owned some land and been very fortunate kind of in that regard. But I do have a friend here that's a farmer, and he had a couple acres of crop damage because of bears. And so what he did is he's like, I don't care about any money. We're just losing money. So he just put a schedule on the website and said, anybody that wants to come and hunt, go for it. And so it was kind of up to all of us to figure that out amongst ourselves. But, you know, it's just not a culture where somebody will come in and, you know, throw money at them and say, I want exclusive rights. I just haven't seen that a lot, at least where I am.
Super so, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
and also is filled, I think that's with leases, man.
Oh yeah, because it's supply and demand, right? So here in Canada, there's more land than the United States, but our population's about 35 million. So our population's about California, but we've got all of this space to hunt. So it's just probably not the same level of supply and demand as what it is in the States, where it's kind of more commercialized there.
Right. I'll be in Canada for a long time coming September, and I don't know exactly where. I think Saskatchewan, but I'm going to try to make some friends with some farmers. I don't know exactly where I'll be or what the hunting will be like, but...
Land of the Giants in Saskatchewan. That's where Milo Hansen bucked the world record was shot. Yeah, yeah. Was in Saskatchewan.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. I knew that, but I just... We're farm country, man, where we're at, and normally I was in Arizona last month for work, and I'm like, okay, there's some big muleys in Arizona, and I'm asking around. I'm like, "Where's the good muleys at?" And they're like, "You got to go south in the like way south." And I'm like, "Yeah, you don't want to go down there because the border's close, and if you get caught by like an illegal, it's bad news." And I'm like, "Well, man, everywhere we go sucks." Yeah. I want to make some connections, you know?
Yeah, there's some big muleys in Saskatchewan. I've got a buddy that hunts in Saskatchewan, and if you don't know who this guy is, look him up because he's just a giant killer. His name's Cody Robbins, and he has...
I know, I'm familiar. I don't know him personally, but I know who he is.
Yeah, I want to go out and hunt with him sometime because he's just absolute giant after giant after giant in the muleys. And it's Live to Hunt with Cody and Kelsey is his show, and he just has some unbelievable muleys out there in Sask. So yeah, that's where it's at, man. If you get a chance to go, you gotta do it. You gotta bring the bow and do it for sure.
I know. It's one of those things. You have to, right? I mean, growing up as a mule deer or a whitetail hunter, you want to kill a mule deer. You want to kill an elk. You want to kill a moose.
Yep, I hear you. I've never killed a muley or an elk. I'm planning in the next 2 years to probably next fall, I'm going to try to do an elk hunt. And I'd love to, if I could squeeze a muley in this fall, I would. I don't think I'm going to be able to. But I did shoot a moose three years ago here in Ontario, an eastern moose with my bow. And that was, I would recommend that to anybody. The experience is incredible, and then the meat on the moose is probably my favorite wild game. Like, it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Do you remember how much meat would you estimate you got?
Well, because of the way that we set it up, so we did a party hunt where you're allowed to, so it's a draw here, and we had 13 guys at the hunt camp, and we had three tags. And we did shoot three moose, and so we had like 13 guys that broke up that meat. But my moose was there's no way to tell because we don't have like industrial scales, but right. We think it was about 1,100 pounds probably on the hoof. And I think that was quartered out, including some of the bones and stuff. I think there's probably 700 pounds of meat or so. And then once you get the bones out and stuff, it cuts it down significantly. But I'll tell you, when we had to put it on a tractor and then quarter it, and we had a walk-in freezer at my cousin's house, and you'd get two guys walking in with a quarter. So this is just the back leg right? And you'd walk in and he had a meat hook and you'd have to go on three, one, two, three, and then heave. And just to get that back quarter up, like it's until you see one, like it just, you don't get an understanding of the scale of them. It's just, it's phenomenal. So the story on that one is we got Colin, and the moose hunting is, it's kind of like elk in a sense that, you know, they're very, very auditory, not like a deer where you can call and they might come in there. They're similar to like an elk hunt. You can the morning, yeah, like they'll call back and you'll hear them and you'll know they're there because they're so big and they're splashing around in the swamp. And the first place we went to, we'd set up on old logging trails on either public land or land we had permission on, and get like 10 guys over, you know, a mile or whatever it is, and one guy would be in the middle and would call, and we're on this trail with our bows. In this particular trail, there was five guys, and we were, call it, you know, 200 yards from each guy, and I was the guy that got lucky. I drew the tag, and then I got lucky it was like Jurassic Park, man. We were calling, and I just saw the tops of the trees move, because there was this little cut. There was this little cut, and it was a logging cut that was overgrown with alders, and it was thick. And I heard it, and I just saw these alders start to shake, and I couldn't see the moose yet. And then I saw antlers come up at me, and I drew on them at 23 yards broadside. And when I drew, because I was standing in this with my back to, you know, some brush, and when I drew, he spotted me and he turned and he gave me zero in terms of shot. And I was at full draw, and we had a stare off, and he's at 23 yards, and I'm just like, oh boy. And so I'm holding, and I was at full draw. I don't know how long it was. Like, I have no idea, but I think for 2 minutes. And
it's a long time.
I was shaking. Like, I had like the literal shakes. And my cam caught on two different occasions, and I had to stop and then pull it back. Like, not full letdown, but the cam caught, and I had to pull it back. And finally, my buddy that was calling, he actually had a view of this moose, and he's like, shoot him, why isn't Bud shooting him, why isn't he shooting him? And he realized that I didn't have a shot. He was facing me straight on, and so he called twice, and he turned that moose, and I put an arrow behind the shoulder, and I was absolutely shaking from head to toe, and there was probably a little bit of adrenaline there, but it was also just like, I was so relieved to let down my bow at that point. But yeah, it was then the work began. Then the work began getting that out. We had to cut down some small trees to get a four wheeler in. We had to gut it in the woods and, you know, drag it out with the four wheeler, and then get, you know, six guys to try to heave that thing into the back of the truck to get it out. So it was just a lot of work, as you can imagine. But that was one of the coolest hunts that I've ever been on. And,
so did you give your buddy a hug after he threw a couple calls out to get that?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, it was, it would have been all over. Like another like 15 to probably 30 seconds, and I would have had to let down, it would have taken off. But, and then I would have been in for it from the guys. I would have heard it for the rest of my life, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it was a nice move. So it was actually in, the taxidermist told me it was in regression. It measured 41 inches wide, which nice. For an Ontario moose, yeah, an Eastern moose is a nice moose. When you go out to, you know, Yukon and Alaska and stuff like that, they get huge out there. They're just a different animal. So it was a nice moose, but it was an old moose, and he was in regression. He had battle scarred and big old head and big body. It was something I'll never forget for sure.
You know, I've never seen a moose in real life. I always want to. There was a museum where, like, they had, taxidermy's real life size.
It's Bass Pro, Steve.
No, it wasn't Bass Pro. No, it's the museum up around here, the Putnam. They have one in there, and it's just super huge. And, you know, you never really get a grasp on how big the things are until you see, like, I think it was Cameron Haynes. Had a picture of the moose back straps, and it took up his whole counter.
Yeah.
It's
incredible.
It's a whole different, yeah, when you go up and you lay your hands on it, it's just like, you know, it's, so let me give you this in terms of scale. So I have a picture of me holding my moose, and you need to, so, and it's just the mount, but, the antlers are detachable from the head of this, the shoulder mount, because you can't get it through the door.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So, so the antlers come out and I'm holding just the moose with no antlers, and it's basically from my knees up over my head, and it's just its neck and its head. And then behind me is a whitetail mount, and it looks like, I don't know, something, something, it looks like a jackrabbit, like, like it, it's so, so small compared to it. It's really incredible.
But. Yeah. See, you know, my house is full of whitetails. You know, I don't, I have whitetails. I have a full mount turkey, which even people that are live, grew up in Illinois, they're like, that's a turkey. Like, I've never seen one up close. I'm like, geez, man, you need to get out more. But I can't imagine having like a caribou or an elk or a moose mount in my house would seem so over the top.
Oh, dude, you would have to put it at the floorboards.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
It'd be on the, it'd be on the well, floor.
Yeah, so it sticks out. So I don't have it in my house. I have to admit, and I'm I say that very shamefully. I don't have it in my house. I've got it on the hunt camp. My wife is an interior designer, and she's like, "That is not going in our house. Oh, nice. I don't want animals." So I've got it. I've got it proudly in the hunt camp. So that's an okay compromise. But so we were finishing our basement, and you know. I have a little area for my bows down there. I've got like a little bow room with my hunting gear and stuff. And I wanted to put the moose on the wall in the basement. And she said, it's a man cave, but we're not putting a moose. And I said, yeah, right. It's a man cave. I'm calling it the compromise cave from now on. And so like, when you go into our like Apple TV and it's got a name, it's to this day, it's the compromise cave, because if I don't have any animals on the wall, it's not a man cave.
That's right, man. That's hilarious. my wife, luckily,
your wife, that's a weird saying.
I just got married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I've been dating her for 8 years, so it's not like a new thing. Like it's,
but it's weird calling her your wife. That's weird.
Yeah, so...
finally signed her to a long-term deal, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, you know...
Oh, yeah, bud.
I'm like, sign this prenup. Let's get married. Everything's good. Literally, yeah. The only thing that she can take from me is my deer head, so I didn't have to sign a prenup, but...
You'll just shoot more, though.
She's always been cool with the deer heads, man, and I have 6 deer heads in my living room right now, and in the front dining room, there's a full mount turkey, and some turkey, other turkey fans. Right now, I can't complain. Maybe she'll change on me, but I got her hunting, so she's all good.
Yeah, my wife won't hunt with me, and no taxidermy on the wall, but she'll kind of, you know, she's got this attitude about it, and I can appreciate it because we kind of come from different background. When it comes to hunting, but she's like, bud, I don't get it, but I know that it's what you love, and it's, you know, what you're made of, so go have fun, you know? And that's her attitude. She gets that it's me, even though she doesn't want to do it. Actually, I had big breakthroughs, though. We've been married for 8 years, and big breakthrough this year is it was last year, she tried wild turkey, and she loved it. So now she's like, bud, go shoot me a turkey. And so that's a big win. She's agreed that she's going to try venison this season, and she told me that she wants me to teach her how to shoot. So... you know, guys, just stick it out. It just takes time.
Except if you're in the friend zone. Well, let's clear that up right now. You're never getting out of that. If you're married, it's a different story.
That's true. That's true. That's so true. That's so true. But, yeah.
You're always looking out for the guys in the friend zone on the podcast, Steve. Thank you.
Hey, I'll tell you what. When he said, did you hit the nail on the head? Like 80% of our listeners are like, you know, when your wife said, I know it's not my thing, but I know it's what you love. Every guy's like, yes, he gets what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
Fellas, there's hope.
Yeah.
Bud, catching deers, can you give us like a little leak? What's next? What videos is going on? I mean, what do you have brewing in the old catching deers laboratory? Laboratory.
Laboratory. Did you say laboratory?
Yeah. Laboratory. Laboratory.
Laboratory. Yeah.
In Dexter's lab. Dee, don't touch my stuff.
Laboratory.
We've got a few things, a few concoctions brewing up here.
Cocktails.
We're ramping up. We're ramping up the content. We're doubling down on stuff that we're doing. It's so fun, and people like it. And so we're just gonna do a bunch more content. We're going into the fall here. We're gonna be releasing a new, you know, catching deer style video. You know, that's not, you know, a hunting tutorial or a shooting a deer. It's just funny stuff that deer hunters can relate to. So we're gonna do that.
Send it.
Monthly, still just gonna send it. Yeah. And one of those that we've got lined up is we know that, you know, being physically fit is a trend right now. I think it's a good thing for health. I'm a former athlete, but I'm not I'm not in sheep shape or anything like that. But what we want to do is introduce some people to some great exercises that will help you with your deer hunting. So that's a little bit of a teaser on one of the videos.
That, okay, I'm liking this already because I feel like that's sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah. May or may not be sarcastic. So we've got something planned there. And then another one, I can't tell you any more than this, but it's kind of a rant style.
Yes, I love it already.
Let's hear it.
But it's a story. Like it's a long-winded story, and it's called The Most Famous Story Ever Told, The Most Famous Hunting Story Ever Told. And so I'm just going to share a long-winded great hunting story that is different maybe than any hunting story you've ever heard. So I'm going to share that. We've got some more stuff lined up for the fall. I love traditional archery. I want to do a trick shot video because you can do so many fun things with like a recurve or a longbow that you can't with a compound. So I shoot some skeet with my recurve, and there's some cool things that you can line up and do when you shoot a recurve instinctively. So I want to do some stuff like that this fall, and that's just kind of some small things. And then I had mentioned my schedule this fall is just jammed with hunting, and of course we want to bring that to everybody and share that as well on various channels. So we're going to be diving into some of the, you know, specific hunting content so people can join in and watch on some of our hunts and stuff like that as well. So we're going to be just bringing a lot of fun stuff to people.
Now,
and then,
but
and
I then got, the thing I got, that I'm, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Just last thing that I'm excited about is just to interact with people and, be able to share those things kind of in semi real time, right. Throughout the fall and share hunting stories. What we love too is, just the classic, and I've got some questions for you guys. I know you're asking me questions, but I got ones for you.
Yeah.
The classic, what's the, you know, the craziest hunting story you've ever heard? And I want to capture those and share them because that's how I grew up. That's what hunting is to me, is my uncle's, you know, telling stories of this deer that came out and the dogs were barking behind it, and I swear it was an 8-pointer. I promise it was an 8-pointer, and I hit it behind the shoulder. I know I did. And then, you know, you go and you find, you know, the bullet in, you know, a big pine tree and no blood anywhere. And you're like, oh, you hit him. You sure, you know, sure you did. And, you know, those old, and then you dub that buck Old Ironside, right? It was like, I hit him behind the shoulder, but he never died. And so that's Old Ironside buck. So stuff like that, we want to get people that are really fantastic, funny storytellers. Just tell the funniest deer hunting stories ever. You know, I had a buddy tell me one today. This happened today, and he was like, "Oh man," he's like, "I was talking to a buddy, and I promise you, this was a story. He had an 8-pointer come out on the watch, and you know, came down through the woods, and the dog somehow lost his trail, and whatever it was, and he came to this pond, and I leaned up against a pine tree and took a crack at him, open sighted at 120." And I didn't hit him, but he dropped on the spot. And I promise you, no word of a lie, he army crawled, and it crawled its way 100 yards out of that brush and then stood up once it hit the wood line and started running.
I've heard that same story, dude. Shit you not.
Yes. Yeah, those stories just get me going. I love it. So
you heard those stories before the internet, which is weird, which lets me know we are...
a long time, man,
no, for you my know age. No, I'm telling you. You heard those stories before the internet, and you heard them, and you're in Canada. We are living in the Matrix, and the Earth is flat. It makes sense.
That's it. So, yeah, that's where we're headed. But hey, guys, I got some questions for you.
Lay them on us.
Oh, God.
I want this to be a conversation. I don't want it to be an interview where I just answer a bunch of your questions because I think you guys are funnier than me. So I just want to get some stuff going. But this is how I like to phrase questions. I like to get to know people by figuring out what some of their preferences are. So okay. some open-ended questions. So get this. You got a mutant doe in the back 40. She runs about 225 on the hoof, and she's got a 6-point rack.
Right.
Do you shoot her? Because that's a lot of meat and a great wall hanger, or do you keep those genetics in the gene pool because you never know what's coming down the line?
I'll go first, Kurt here. I'll shoot her every time.
Yeah?
Because how often do you get a chance to shoot an antlered doe?
You know what? I got to be honest with you. I've never seen one.
My buddy, our buddy Trevor, shot one in velvet in November 2 years ago.
It's goofy looking.
It's wild, man. It never it kept the same rack for 2 years.
I got it. So did he know, or did he shoot like a velvet buck? And he's like, "Oh, dang, that ain't a buck."
He saw it get up, and we did a podcast about it. It's one of our most popular podcasts.
Yeah, I can see why.
Episode 46. So it's been over 100 episodes ago. I think it was episode 46. I might be making that shit up. I don't know where I got that. But it gets up, and he saw this buck. He's like, "God, it looks like velvet." Drops it and gets over to it. Calls, you know, makes some phone calls. Shot a really weird, funky rack looking thing. It's still in velvet, but and like the rack is like super brittle, right? So
yeah,
they flip it over to clean it, and they're like, "This is a doe, man." And he flipped through some trail camera pictures, and he had pictures of it the year before, I believe, with the same exact rack. So it never shed. There's some testosterone issues there somewhere, and it just it's weird, man. I don't know.
But, I've heard of it. 46. I've heard of it.
But
it was 47.
Oh, I was close. 47. But no, I'd shoot it for sure. If I knew it was a doe, is that part of it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Oh,
man.
Dude,
absolutely.
That thing's getting dropped in a heartbeat. This is Steve. Yeah, that's getting dropped in a heartbeat because we
Bruce
need,
Jenner and a deer, man.
We need.
Yeah, you got to call it Bruce.
Listen, one of us has to shoot it because we need the podcast ratings. All right, we need them big numbers.
That's true. Right. But guys, think of it like that's where world records are born. Like if you've got a doe with a 6-point rack, you got to think that offspring's going to be a world record.
Well, the thing is though, I don't know if this is factual, but I think it's common that most does that with issues like that don't breed. They don't participate in the rut.
Well, I can see why, guys.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's only so many times where you're hitting on a chick where you're like, dude, this chick kind of looks like a dude, but Aerosmith had that song one time. And
have you guys seen the Crazy Hot Matrix?
I have not.
That video?
Oh, yes, I have. The graph? It's like a graph?
Reminds me of that. That is just absolute gold.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I love that question, man. That was I don't know where you thought of that, but I love it.
Oh, sweet Lord. What
All right, I got another one. Right, I got another one for you then. I want to hear your thoughts on. It's a would you rather.
Oh, I love this.
All right. Let me go first. I'll take the bullet, Kurt.
Okay.
Okay. Would you rather hunt naked with the worst mosquitoes you've ever seen and shoot a 180 or be perfectly comfy and shoot a 130?
Oh,
like, I mean, these mosquitoes are like basically bumblebees.
Cool. I'm hunting naked. I'm not afraid of West Nile virus. Yeah.
I'm hunting naked too, man.
Listen,
listen.
If a mosquito bites, and I know where you're trying to go with this. You're like, what if the mosquito bites you in the private parts? I'd be flattered that a mosquito would think there's enough blood in there for a nice meal. Thank you. Plus, I'm shooting that giant deer.
Guys, I don't think you've ever hunted where I hunted. When you bear hunt in the spring here in Canada, oh my gosh. Like, we had two thermocells, but like, it's horrible.
I've heard that.
Oh man. Like, when you say naked, shooting a 180, I don't know that you've ever seen bugs like I've seen them. Cause that's a tough one.
Well, but I've seen 180 though. And, I'd gladly. If I knew, like, hey, how long do I have to sit though? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's a 3-hour hunt.
Okay, I'd do it, man. For 180, yeah. And then I never, that I'm cool. Like, I got a 180. I don't, Kurt has I'll just done, sit comfy and shoot 130s for the rest of my life after that.
Yeah. Kurt has spent almost 200 hours with me, so I don't think.
Yep.
I think 180 would be worth it.
Yeah, I think if you pull hours. if you pull the audience, I think you're gonna got a lot of guys going for that 180.
Right, I think so too, man. These are good questions, man. I'm loving these.
Yeah, you got any more?
Oh, do I have any more? I got a few in the vault, but this is like inside track on like catching deer's hunt camp. Yeah. Is we'll sit down and it's just like this, except for we're in the same room and you got to go off the cuff. You got to just make it up. Okay. So this is a non deer hunting one. Would you rather be the kids in the Jurassic Park scene with the velociraptors in the kitchen? Or would you rather go toe to toe with a black bear in a cage match and you got to go three rounds?
Dude, I'm choosing black bear every time. Every time, man. Raptors are horrifying. I don't know what they actually look like, obviously, but that is scary shit. I think, like, I could just full guard a black bear for three rounds and just get bloody as shit.
rear naked choke.
Yeah. I would be bloody as hell, but I would probably die, but I would much rather die from black bear attack in a cage than raptor in a kitchen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. All
right. But here's what I gotta know, Bub. What's the finish of that match?
What's the finish?
Yeah, because I gotta know. If I'm gonna go wrestle this bear, I need to know the finish. You know, I need to know what the high spots are. I need to know how to work them. What's the finish? Am I winning that match or?
You don't know.
Like it's, you don't know. You don't. You never know.
This is pro wrestling. We do know. I know exactly what that match is.
Right, I feel like I asked the wrong question. I should have gone grizzly. I should have gone grizzly in a cage match, three rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I would have chose raptors for sure.
Yeah, you would have said grizzly. Yeah, dude. I would have been them goofy kids sitting in there waiting for that. You know what the scariest thing was? Like, dude, it's not like in Jurassic Park. Like, it wasn't the scariest thing that it was raptors. It was that they had that claw that moved by itself. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
that's scary to me. Like, if
when they can when they can open doors, I'm out. Like, yeah, that's it. I'm done. They can open doors. It's like I got nothing on them now.
I've never been interviewed in my own interview, so I'm having a great time with this.
Yeah. Well, I'm running dry, so I'm gonna put you guys on the spot and say, give me a would you rather, and you got to make it up.
Ooh, ooh, okay, all
right. Make it up. This is gonna get bad, man. This episode just got marked explicit.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Would you rather watch a fellow Canadian, Kenny Omega, wrestle Okada in their first match at Wrestle Kingdom 11? Or would you rather do Working Class Bowhunter podcast a second time sober?
You lost me on the first one. I got nothing, but I'll pick. I'd rather do Working Class Bowhunter any day of the week.
All right. Well, you better watch that match and then get back to us.
I got no context, guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, right, you're good.
Me either, but I'm lost. Thing is, like, I want to think of some would you rathers, but when someone says, "Hey, let's do would you rather," I automatically think dark,
the nastiest thing you could ever do.
Oh
stuff.
Yeah,
like stuff.
Yeah,
that you
go deer
answer.
Hunting. Go deer hunting. Would you rather?
Would you rather? I'm making this up. I don't even know what I'm about to say.
Oh. Yep, that's the game.
Would you rather miss a 200-inch deer at 10 yards, or would you rather...
You want to go dark, don't you?
I want to.
Do it.
I'm
Do
trying it. Not to go too deep.
Would you rather miss a deer at 200-inch at 10 yards?
Would you rather put a staple gun into your middle finger?
Oh my gosh. I'd do a staple gun into the finger. I think that would hurt for like 5 minutes. I got a big old hook in my finger this year and it didn't hurt that bad. Like it wasn't as bad as I thought. I would be emotionally scarred and I would get buck fever and I would be nervous every time I sat in a deer stand for the rest of my life if I ever missed a 200-inch deer at 10 yards. Like that would be emotionally like that would wreck me. So I'm going staple gun to the middle finger. Final answer.
Final answer. But I got
pretty good one for the top of my head and not knowing.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I got a good one for you, bud. Would you rather be friend zoned by the most perfect woman that you ever could imagine? You know,
your wife doesn't exist in this.
Yeah, your wife doesn't exist. Like,
pretend this hypothetical. Divorced. Okay.
Pretend. Okay. I don't know when this podcast is coming from. You could be divorced. Would you rather be put in the friend zone by the most perfect woman for you, or get booted off the hunting ground that you grew up hunting?
Oh man,
friend zone for sure, son.
Yeah, like I don't ever want to be booted off of a hunting.
But
yeah, I mean, I'm gonna pick. I would rather not get booted. So whatever the other option is.
So you're okay. Gonna go hunting. Who are you gonna celebrate with? Not the woman you love, because you're gonna send her and she goes, "Oh, that's a good bud. That's a good deer, bud. Bud."
She double buds you,
dude. Don't ever
that's
get
a hard one. That's don't a ever get double budded. That's a hard one for me to get my head around because I landed the girl 8 years ago. So that's a tough one for me to emotionally connect with.
Okay, fine. I'll do this. Hey, would you rather lose a lease or get divorced?
Oh my gosh, that's
you can't.
There it is.
There's no question on that. I'd rather lose a lease. When it comes to the marriage, that's sacred ground right there.
That means like, yeah. Dude, this marriage could end tomorrow.
Yeah,
he feels awkward now.
Hey man, we're just
well, guys, that went sideways. Yeah.
Well, you brought it up. Just had to say.
Time for me to go do another podcast. I'll see you guys later.
No, that was fun. That was good.
Well, hey, I know we want to get out of here. I just want to ask one more question. When can we expect Catching Deer's golf towels?
Golf towels.
Oh yeah, bud.
Ooh, I don't know. I might be able to make something happen for you. Let me see. That wasn't, guys, I'm just going to be fully honest here. Shoot from the hip. I hadn't even ever considered golf towels.
Ooh. I didn't even know golf towels existed.
Yeah,
right,
never
now.
Seen like the Saturdays or for the boys. They got, like, yeah. Golf towels are kind of a niche thing with like,
it's a staple. Golfers.
It's,
wow.
I don't know. That's going cross cultural here, but you know what? I'd be willing to make, you know, six of them, right? Like we did the original foam trucker, and just if it takes off and it goes, then I'll just make more. Well, how about that? I'm still gonna send them.
Still gonna send it.
but if you make those towels, I will not call the golf towel. I don't golf. But I will hook it onto my pack, and before I climb my tree stand, I'll wipe my hands off on it and then climb my tree stand and call it my stand towel.
The stand, yeah. I think we need some more innovations in hunting right now, and I think we need tree stand climb wipes. And
we need tree stand climbing gloves is what we need.
yes. Yeah. I'll have to make some towels and send them to the lads.
The lads. Oh,
yeah.
Bud's going to send the buds.
The blokes.
The blokes. Yeah,
to the fellas. Hey. I never know. You know what's the truth here, too, is that growing up in Canada, and our company is based out of Nashville because my two partners live in Nashville, Tennessee. I just happen to still live in Canada, so I go back and forth all the time. But I kind of come up with stuff, and I never know if anybody knows what I mean. when I come out with a saying, I'm thinking sometimes I'm going to say things that I think are funny and people are just going to be like, I have no idea what a Donnybrook is, you know? so anyway,
Kurt's eyes well up on that one.
Yeah. Funny, man.
You know,
are people going to get it if I call it a Donny Vincent Brook? and it's just, I'm like, I don't know if that's a Canadian thing.
That's classic.
Maybe that's rural Ontario, and nobody is going to know what that is. So
we watch Letterkenny Problems.
Oh my gosh, how good is Letterkenny?
So good, man.
Kurt turned me on to that.
I'm absolutely obsessed. I laid in bed because they'll post like all six seasons on Facebook, and you can just watch them there. I think me and my wife watch 3-4 episodes of Letterkenny, like, before we went to sleep, stayed up late. It's just the funniest shit. Like, it's just like the one, the greasy guy in town wanted to fight you, but you didn't want to fight him because he was too damn greasy. It's just like weird stuff like
just,
that.
Just ridiculous, really ridiculous stuff. What was one of the lines? And I don't watch, I haven't watched the whole show. I've seen, you know, the rapid fire YouTube videos that my friends send me, and they're from Ontario too. And so I've watched all those, and it gets vulgar for my taste, to be honest, at times. But he is, Jared Kiso is the main guy. He's absolutely brilliant. But one of the ones is,
you
Buddy
any
says
bucks on your wall if you did yeah. something.
Yeah, oh yeah, six bucks.
Yeah. One of the ones is, Buddy says the sled's got so much torque you can't keep the front skis down. Yeah, right, bud. You want to blow smoke? Go have a dart.
I love that.
It's just rapid fire, just funny stuff. Yeah,
it is great, man. I do love it. It's funny because in Canada, that's all I could think of when I was there for work. I'm like, not everyone up here is like this, but that's all I can think of.
Yeah, you know, I dug in because I have a ton of respect for anybody that's that brilliant with the one-liners. And so I dug into who Jared Kiso was a little bit. He's from Ontario. He's a hockey player. Like, I grew up in a hockey family. I played hockey, played college hockey in the States. And he came to this point where he realized his hockey career wasn't going to kind of go the way that he wanted to. His whole life, he thought he was going to play hockey. And then so he started doing what he loved doing, was making jokes with the boys, and went to acting school. And Letterkenny started off as just a couple of YouTube videos that kind of took off and became this thing. Yeah, Letterkenny Problems. And they said it started out actually as a, I think it was a Twitter handle that wasn't even, I guess nobody in town knew who it was, that it was them, and it became this big thing. So it's just a cool story too. I love when stuff grows just kind of organically with people doing what they love to do.
I got into it, and our good buddy, he's a listener from Canada, Scott Clark with an E, Clarky. I've had to text him stuff. I remember I texted him, you know, I watch it, I go, hey dude, what's a skid?
Yeah. He's like, well, that's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about. You come up with this joke, you think it's just hilarious, and everybody's like, yeah.
We can just be your Midwesterner, like, tester out. Like, we can be your product development team. So if you're I'm not sure, would anyone in the Midwest and the deer hunting states know what this is about? Text it to us. I'll be like, yeah, dude, no idea. But you can use us as a test.
But it'll catch on. So, like, as soon as he sees some guy, like, as soon as he told me that, I go, dude, I text him, like, a day later, like, dude, I saw the greasiest skid you'd ever seen.
Yeah. So we'll go rapid fire right now. We'll go with some Canadian lingo. I don't know if we're running out of time. I'm just enjoying the conversation, but...
Oh, we can try to push it as long as we want, but we're kind of in conclusion, but I'm having too much fun.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Hit us with some real quick.
So would you call one of your friends a beauty?
A beaut?
Yeah, beauty. No, he's a beauty.
I definitely wouldn't.
I'd call Kurt a beaut.
He's a handsome man. I'd say something like that.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
No, but his personality, it's like, oh, that guy's hilarious. He's a beauty.
I love that. No, I want to use
that.
That's
now
good.
That changes it for me a bit. Now I get it. I didn't understand in context what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a beaut. He's a beauty.
Okay, I get it. I get it.
What about Gong Show?
A what? Gong Show?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Guys, this podcast is a disaster. It's such a Gong Show.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard that. I've heard that. Well, on this podcast multiple times, you know, but...
I can't see me using that. I can't see
that. Okay. Probably not.
Duster?
No idea.
Nope.
No, there's two things. You could have a cookie duster, a mustache, or you could have a soup strainer mustache, but... A duster is like a skid. Oh, he was such a duster.
I like it. I'm into that one.
All right, I'm down with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I said Donnybrook earlier. You guys know what a Donnybrook is?
I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, Donnybrook is an old fashioned dust up, just going toe to toe. It's a fight.
Oh, really? A Donnybrook?
Oh, old fashioned Donnybrook, just standing in and sending them.
Oh, man, I love that one, man.
Dude, okay. My favorite is when you call it fist cuffs. Like, I remember, like, you're talking about somebody, like, yeah, these two dudes were engaged in a round of fist cuffs.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, what happened was the dude was stomping on the dude's head while he's unconscious. So I'm calling this cuffs. A Donnybrook, yeah.
I like the Donnybrook, man. I'm a fan of that one.
The Donnie Vincent Brook is even more hilarious.
That is funny.
So now you get it. Okay, so.
Yeah, that's a good old funny.
Yeah, good old-fashioned Donnie Vincent Brook with a black bear in a cage match going three rounds.
I can see that dude beating up a black bear.
Oh, yeah. I think Donnie would be wearing his plaid and his toque, and he'd go toe-to-toe for
his
sure.
His toque. Oh, do not think that I miss that. I date a Canadian. I know all about the pook toque. That hat has many different applications, and it is warm.
I'm lost between Canadian conversation. Dude,
you need a pook toque. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When is this episode coming out? Catching Deer's pook toque.
No comment.
It's too good, man. It's too good.
Guys, that confirmed my suspicions that some of my jokes will fall on deaf ears if I go too Canadian in the lingo.
Hey, you have to make a shout out to the Working Class Bowhunter podcast. View this. You need to make a video prior, like 6 months prior, before you do any of this stuff, explaining these Canadian phrases to the deer hunting community, and then we'll understand.
All right. I'll put it like a
do it for us.
What's it called at the end of the, when at the end of a book when you, like you go and you reference at the end
like a,
all these like there's a like a glossary of terms, dude, at the end of all of our videos.
I'm thinking epilogue or prologue. I don't read a whole lot of books. I mean, if you listen to this episode, you clearly pick that up.
You don't say.
Video idea. You do that video explaining it, and then you do a hunter's version of it, like the Donnie Vincent Brook. You can do those for each term and explain your definition. Where it applies, and give like multiple skits or that you can make out of it, or reasoning, like, you know, give examples.
Send this video to a buddy that's a total duster.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Decent.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fisher, man, you are the man.
Oh God, I loved it.
Thank you so
much, guys. I just appreciate you having me on. This was a ton of fun, and you guys are guys that I would have a ton of fun in the hunt camp with sometimes. So I hope we could make that happen. That'd be a blast. But I appreciate you having me.
Anytime, man. Yeah. Stick around on the phone after the podcast here. But no, really, though, you are awesome. Your sense of humor is right in line where we're at. You know, take your deer hunting seriously, but this is hunting camp, dude. This is what our podcast is. We like to joke around, sit around, have a couple cold ones, and have a good time, man. There's nothing wrong with it. And you're absolutely hilarious. I love the sense of humor. We can't wait to see more out of Catching Deers and your whole crew. Shout out to Dana for us. We love you guys, man. I hope you come back whenever we have you, and open door policy on the podcast, buddy.
Jeez, why don't you just write him a love letter?
Hey, we've been talking for over an hour about good times, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, guys, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'll say hey to Dana. I'm sure he's going to listen. He's one of the guys. He's a beauty, that's for sure.
A beauty.
He's a beauty.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm understanding that more deeply as time
goes on.
Whatever, you greasy skid.
To everyone that listened to the podcast, thank you so much for hanging in this long. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you laughed, made your work day easier, your drive easier. Yeah. Deer season's coming. You know what you better be doing? Go shoot your bow. We love you.
In wild country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.